This is Sight to the Blind. I hope everyone enjoyed the last episode with Sister Gina Grasso. I hope that's saying that right, with the Italian accent on it. Grasso. One of the things that did stick out in my mind that she talked about with me was the fact that me and Brother Ron are doing completely different calendars. And I wanted to make this clear, because I don't want to get into who's better, whose calendar to use. It shouldn't be between two people. It really should be the truth of the matter. Go to the scriptures. Seek out the scriptures for yourself. This is why I talked about the scriptures before, when I talked about this calendar and when I talked about the ordinances and I talked about the statutes. It is not my calendar. It is not my ordinances. It is not my statutes. It's the Most High statutes. And he has called us to participate in this very narrow road. And the more you seek that narrow road, you see it, you see why it's narrow, because of the ordinances and statutes that were given to us for us to follow, to make us completely separate from other nations, completely separate from the rest of the world, completely separate from religions. This is why he told us to do these things. Because really, it's a test to see who wants it more. That's all it is. It's a test to see who wants it more. If Satan got his minions and his puppets to get up at 3 a.m. to chant, to murmur, to pray to him, to conjure, draw pentagrams all over the floor with these zodiac symbols and sigils, lighting candles, bringing in an innocent child or an innocent person, using their blood, using their adrenochrome on a constant basis. These are his statutes and his ordinance. What makes you think that the Most High is just going to be okay with you just doing the bare minimum? Satan's puppets don't even get to do the bare minimum. It ain't like they coming on TV and just throwing up the devil horns and just getting a bag full of money, a new house, a new car, and say, okay, that's all I need from you. He's not asking them to do that. He's asking them to do more. It's taxing on their ruach. It's taxing on their soul and body. Look at the girl who played Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar. She is a completely different person from when she started out in that industry. A completely different person. The first time I saw her in a movie, I forgot what the movie was even. Matter of fact, yeah, it was a movie with Chris Hemsworth. It was like a weird occult movie. It was literally right after he did Thor that he was in this movie. And he was some, I don't know, cult freak. And he was walking up to an abandoned casino. And she was just one of these people lost and then found this casino, this old rundown 1970s casino. And she was, I wouldn't say overweight, but she was thicker than what she was. And her talent in this movie was singing. Fast forward. Now you see how she looked. And you can't tell me she looks like that from her own doing. You don't know what the rituals they have her doing behind the scenes that'll get somebody to be pleasantly plump to all of a sudden looking anorexic and demon-possessed. That's why those kids, when they grow up, they go crazy and all that, because it's a constant, it's a constant oppression on their ruach, a constant oppression on their souls. That's why they look older. They look older than what they're supposed to look. Like Lindsay Lohan is younger than me, yet looks older than me. And I'm 45, about to be 46. So how can you simply not want to please a man that's giving you life? Please a man that's going to give you eternity. Please a man that's trying to give you paradise. But it's some things that we have to go through. And one is our ego, and that's our pride. That's the top two reasons why a lot of people won't do these commandments, these statutes, these ordinances, is because of ego and pride and excuses. That's the foundation of it all. I've seen a lot of people break down scriptures. I've seen a lot of people say and do marvelous things when it comes to feast days. But that's where they stop. That's where they stop. They don't go no further into it. Oh, make sure you do this and that's it. There's so much more that we need to get back to because we haven't known it all. We haven't lived long enough in it at all to say that, okay, we got it. I literally just found out in Numbers chapter 28 that every Shabbat they gave an ascending smoke offering. It wasn't just new moons. Every Shabbat, they was given up two lambs of the first year without spot, without blemish, and offering them as an ascending smoke offering mingled with oil, mingled with flour, mingled with wine. And that was the custom every Shabbat. When we woke up, we thought that Friday evenings and Saturday evenings were Shabbats. That's what we thought. But you don't see Jews doing any of the book of Numbers chapter 28. They don't do it. When have you ever seen a post of a Jew building up his altar, getting his ascending smoke offering ready, and then offering it to the Most High every Shabbat? You haven't seen it. So the more and more you get into these commandments and get into these statutes, you become completely different from the rest of the world. And that's what the Most High wanted. Truly, that's what he wanted. If we are in these commandments and statutes, you really don't start thinking about sinning for yourself. You don't think about pleasure. If you have a problem with masturbating and problem watching porn, get into offering to the Most High. I guarantee you would be that post-nut clarity that you feel after you're masturbated. You would feel that feeling before you even think about masturbating because you know a Shabbat is coming up. And you know that the Most High is not going to accept an offering from your hand after you've been jacking off. Let's be for real. The Most High is not going to touch your offering if he knows 3 or 4 days beforehand you were jacking off watching porn. So now your mind convicts itself because now you know you want to worship and praise the Most High as he's deserving to be praised and worshiped. You start thinking like, damn, I can't really jack off because I got to go buy an ascending smoke offering. I got to lay the wood. I got to make sure my hands are clean. This is what I got to do to make sure my offering is accepted because I want to please Yahuwah. That's what's going to go through your mind. That is why one of the reasons why he wanted us to do these statutes, he had to constantly tell us to do these things because he knew that we were stiff-necked and our minds would go traveling on and our hearts would go whoring after other people's nations and other people's gods and religions. He knew this about us. We wouldn't be satisfied unless we were blessed then on the spot. We saw these other nations and thought that through demon worship and ancestral worship, they were going to be blessed the here and after. But not knowing that the institutions and the way this system was set up, that those who had control over the people had to bless the people fast in order to keep them exactly where they're at in idol worship. That means if I am a king, and I want to continue ruling over people, and I want them to believe in my God, and I want them to believe that my God chose me, that means if I tell you to sacrifice your firstborn, I got to, as a king, I got to formulate a plan to make to give you abundance and resources or make you rich for doing so. So to make you think that my God has chosen me to bless you through this particular type of offering and sacrifice. That's how a lot of people, from the Egyptians to the Greeks and to the Romans, this is why the polity, they needed more than one god. Because after a while, the one god thing wasn't working. It's too much work. How is one man going to bless all these people? So this is what they did. They separated, they compartmentalized what people wanted. Oh, if you wanted a god of love, here, this person will bless you. Oh, if you want a god of war, hey, this person will bless you. Oh, if you want a god of wisdom, here, this person will bless you. And that's how it filtered down. So people were stuck worshiping multiple gods and multiple goddesses because they felt they were getting blessed through it. Demons bless too. They bless you so you can stay exactly where you're at. That's why demons bless you. That's why Satan blesses you. Satan's not going to attack you when you're doing everything he wants you to do. His whole point is to love you through wickedness, love you by allowing you to do what thou wilt. People can be Christians and say, well, Satan's attacking me. Why would he attack you for you doing exactly what he wants you to do? He wants you to stay still. He wants you to do the pagan feast days. He doesn't want you to do the most high statutes and ordinances. That's what he wants you to do. So, oh, I'm getting attacked. No. It may be Yah trying to convict you and Yah trying to change you and Yah trying to give you over to unclean ruach so you can come back to him so you can understand in your ignorance that you don't totally have it together. And we'll get into that. When I talked about Yah being the boss, that he controls the right and the left. He controls the righteous and the wicked. So to bring it home for you, when it comes to these calendars, seek out the scriptures that were given to you. It don't matter who gave them to you. Seek them out. I was very clear on the scriptures. I was very clear on giving you examples after examples, map after map after map that coincides with the scriptures. I've been very thorough in that approach to why I do what I do. But I did it through Yah. I didn't do it for myself. I didn't do it through myself. I did it by using common sense, and I used it with the scriptures. That's it. So don't go into trying to decide who to listen to, one teacher or the other. Go to the scriptures. Go to the information that is presented, and then you make that decision. I think that works best for everybody. You make that decision and see where Yah leads you. Now, when I talked about being the boss, Yah being the boss, in the previous episode before Sister Gina, in Revelation 17, when it talks about the 10 horns of the beast and how the beast is going to get the power and how the kingdom of the beast won't come to its full power unless the 10 horns beef with whoever. But my point is, in Revelation 17:17, it says, for Yah has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of Yah shall be fulfilled. And verse 16, it says, and the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore Babylon, the religious systems, and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So in order for it to be one religion, one God, after going through all this polytheism in these different nations, now we're going back to one God because Satan wants to be the God. So now you have to destroy the religions. You have to destroy Catholicism. You have to destroy Judaism. You have to destroy Christianity and all its denominations. You got to destroy Buddhism. You got to destroy Islam. You got to destroy the whore. The whore of Babylon, that's what you got to destroy. When it says eat her flesh and burn her with fire, that means people are going to lose their religion. Because they're going to find out in the end times, it will not save them. And it was not working till then. It has never worked. Like I said before, demons know how to bless. And what they do is to keep you in a state or in a stupor, And even that is a spirit or a roar given by Yah, is to keep you exactly where you're at so you can see the fullness of his power and the ignorance in your doings. That's why he's doing it. If you're not being called or chosen or selected for some for his glory or for his purpose, I will be more fear than the rest of the people on this earth that do know. I will be more in fear. Because you're getting saved to the last bit. You're getting saved until everything starts getting thrown into the fire. So when I talk about Yah being the boss, it says that he has put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. Just like he put it in Pharaoh's heart to fulfill his will. This is why he told this lying Ruach when he wanted Ahab to go to war and die in battle. He got a lying Ruach and made the lying Ruach go into the mouths of his prophets. So the Most High is in charge. And it made me think of 1 Samuel chapter 16, what Saul was going through. Then 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Ruach Yahuwah came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So this is the first time without the Ruach HaKodesh we hear of the Ruach Yahuwah coming upon David. But the Ruach Yahuwah departed from Saul, and an evil Ruach from Yahuwah troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil Ruach from Yah troubles you. It didn't say from Satan. It didn't say from Mastema, which is another chief demon mentioned in the book of Yasher. It didn't say Azazel because he's locked up. It didn't say Shemayaza because they're locked up. It don't say nobody else. It don't say Beelzebub, nobody. It says from Yah. Yah sent a spirit in there to get him. Let our Adonai now command your servants, which are before you, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil Ruach from Yah is upon you, that he shall play with his hand and you shall be well. So it seems that this Ruach, this evil Ruach that Yah put on Saul, could come and go as he pleases. Because it was only agitating him when he was upset. So that makes you think a lot of Ruach that go into people when they're angry or upset and do not know how to control their passions is when sin erupts, when crime erupts. So when the Most High says, I'm going to let them be reprobates, which means the Most High is allowing unclean Ruach to dwell on this earth to be either a learning experience, a prophecy, or judgment upon people in this land. And it's not his will. He's said this and stated this before. It is not his will and his desire to destroy his creation. But because he's righteous and because of his judgment and his Torah, he needs to fulfill it to let us know who chose the righteous side that he won't flip-flop. That he's not going to allow people who didn't worship him to get into paradise while we busted our asses trying to get there. That is the comfort and that is the rest that we should all take to heart. People say, oh, you know, Hitler could be in heaven. All he had to do was say he found Jesus. Come on, man. It's a little bit more different than that. A little bit more difficult than that. This is not a moment where, you know, he was strung up alongside Yahusha and said he believed, and all of a sudden Yahusha said, oh yeah, I'll walk with you through the gates into the kingdom because you believe. No. It's deeper than that. But they think that Yah is so merciful and forgiving that he could forgive all of that wickedness and not having the person atone for it. You need to atone for your wickedness. That's why some of us are called, and we are called into atoning for our wickedness through repentance, through good works. If you think back all the times you sinned, you went hard body, did you not? Didn't you go hard for sin? When it came to your flesh, did you not worship it? If flesh was your altar, was your temple, did you not fulfill it or fill it up with all types of pleasures? So what makes you think when you get into the holy body, the spiritual body, that you don't have to put anything on the altar in the temple that Yah has purged, cleaned, cleansed, sanctified for you? First Samuel 17, verse 45. Then David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of Yahuwah, Sabaoth, the Elohai of the armies of Yasharel, whom you have defied. Of course, I'm talking about the age-old story of David and Goliath. But this day will Yahuwah deliver you into my hand. I will smite you and take your head from you, and I will give you to the carcasses, I give your carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is an Elohim in Yasharel. And all this assembly shall know that Yahuwah saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is Yahuwah's, and he will give you into our hands. So we don't have to do anything. If you are walking righteously, you shouldn't have to lift your hand. Because like I said before in previous episodes, the Most High is standing by willing to use his angels to shame Satan in order to exalt you, because exalting you by shaming your enemies gives and brings glory to his name that his power is real. And it's Yah's doing, his desire, that this is how he wants his glory to be fulfilled. Is through people, by people changing over. I feel like it's important to him that we change over. We change over to good. This is a battle between Yah and Satan. Remember, we're replacing the angels that decided to leave. And he casted them down here as in this little prison under the firmament to sit there and watch us, who are made lower than the angels, struggle with our flesh in order to replace what the angels already had their habitation. God's basically telling them, like, look, I'm going to make a creation lower than you, much lower than you, not even that far above animals. And they're going to desire to follow me, my statutes, my ordinances, while you were made with much more glory than they, much more stature than they, much more beauty than they, where you were in heaven with me, you were already in paradise. You didn't have to go through trials and tribulations. You will never know what it's like to die. You never knew what it's like to not have. You had everything, and yet you decided to leave because of Satan, because you wanted to be bigger than I. I'm gonna make you look and watch. That's why they call them the watchers. They watching. Some of them got to be watching it in disgust because they don't get no redemption. There is no salvation for them because they ought to know better. So their prison sentence, which is coming to a short close before judgment, is to sit there and watch us struggle in this world, find him, and do all that we can to show that we, being made lower than they, want to be in paradise more than they wanted to be in paradise or stayed in paradise. This is why the battle is never ours, but his. This is a lot bigger than just us. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and Yahuwah was with him. It didn't say David was stupid in what he was doing, and David and Yahuwah was with him. Does not wisdom come from Yahuwah? When you are walking in his statutes, his commandments, when he told David, like, look, I'll give you the kingdom. I'll give you the throne and your descendants after you. All you have to do is do exactly what I tell you to do. The only time the Ruach Yehuah left David is when he concocted that scheme to go after Uriah's woman, Bathsheba. But we'll talk about that later. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Yasharel and Yehuda loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to El David, behold, my elder daughter Merav, her will I give you to be your woman. Only be valiant for me and fight Yehuah's battles. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Isn't that funny? That the same scheme that Saul tried to put on David, David successfully put on Uriah. Except Saul didn't want anything from David other than for him to be gone. But David wanted Bathsheba. So it's funny how these two stories are somewhat connected. And David said unto El Shaul, who am I? And what is my life with my father's family in Yashrael that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel to be his woman. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to El David, you shall this day be my son-in-law, and one of the two, in the one of the two. Now, Saul, knowing his daughter, must have known that she wasn't truly obedient, that she, him raising her, knew that she was a stumbling block for herself. So what Saul tried to do, again, was try to give his wicked daughter unto David. So through that, maybe anger, maybe adultery, maybe some form of wickedness, that the Ruach Yehuah would leave David and he will go into war with the Philistines and die. This is Saul in the early times still understanding that the only way that the Israelites were conquered was through sin. He understood that, just like David understood it. In order for us to fall, we would have to already be in full blown into sin. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly and say, behold, the king has delight in you and all his servants love you. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spoke those words in the ears of David. And David said, does it seem to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law? Seeing I am a poor man and lightly esteemed. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spoke David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king's desire, not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So now this is three tests. Three tests. He wanted David to go out there and fight the Philistines. Of course, the story or the song goes, you know, Saul slain his thousands and David's his tens of thousands. So he knew David was about that life. He knew David was a real warrior and that Yahuwah was with him. So he thought, all right, I'll send a woman after him. I'll send my daughter after him to become a stumbling block or a snare to him. But the fact that she loved David, loved him enough to not be a snare or a stumbling block, so that failed. So then he's like, all right, let me give him a difficult task. Now, mind you, imagine you hearing this for the first time. That your king, who you've been serving, come up to you and said, I want 100 foreskins off the Philistines. Imagine that now. Imagine, I don't know, say Yah or when David's erected and we judge this world. Just theoretically. That we judge this world. And he told you, I want 300 foreskins of each nation. Could y'all do it? Seriously, could y'all do it? Could y'all go to war after killing a man, remove his drawers, and then cut off his foreskin? Like, what was you going to do with that? But that's how wild that test was. He said he wanted 100 foreskins of the Philistines. I mean, we talking about Hamites. We talking about Africans. I mean, I ain't going into size, but obviously the stereotypes you've known to be true. Because so you just imagine, you a grown man going up to not 20 or 30, but 100 men to cut off foreskin. And then what you do? You just have it in a bag? And after that, you gave it to him like, here, what was Saul going to do? Count one by one, how many, just to make sure he made his due? He made the number that he told him to come back with? 1 Samuel 18, 26 to 30. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David rose and went, and he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full measure to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law, and Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to be his woman. So not only but 100, he came back with 200. And I think this is what, again, Yah wanted, to prove to Saul, to keep aggravating Saul through his disobedience, that you cannot destroy what I have selected. As a matter of fact, he's not coming back with 100. He's coming back with 200. This is all to shame the enemy. So when the Most High wants you to do something, and you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know. It may cost too much if I do it. I don't have the money right now this month. But you don't understand the battle that's around you. You don't understand the spiritual warfare around you when Yah asks you to do something. When he gives you a mission or an assignment, you don't understand the battle behind it. That he wants to shame the enemy so you would have a confidence in him. So you would exalt him. Mind you, it ain't just the people that we see. It's the people that we don't see. It's the Ruach that we don't see behind the veil. That is what we're shaming too. So after you give it your all and you're like, man, I really gave it my all. I don't know if I have enough for next month. This is when Yah puts more on you. Not a burden, but abundance, blessings, resources. So when he's calling you again, because eventually you're going to rise in enemies. You're going to rise in captains of the enemies that you go against. You would go against your grunts just to build your confidence up, just to build your trust in him. So after you go through the grunts, then you go to the captains. After you conquer the captains, you go to the generals. After the generals, you damn near go to the colonels. That is the elevation. And the more you do it, the more you exalt him, the more you do the statutes, the more you do the ordinances, the more you get everything right. So when he calls on you again, you are already prepared. People are not going through this test. They're not. Most of the people aren't going through these tests. They think the test of religion is literally them going to church on Sunday and then dealing with unruly workers or their kids not acting right for a couple of days. That's what they think the spiritual warfare is. And then they go right back on church on Sunday and they do it. They keep repeating it. And because people have their dopamine screwed up and their attention all over, and their attention is dwindling down to 3 minutes, they forget what this spiritual war is about. So they just keep repeating the same processes. Like programmed robots. And they don't know how to snap out of it. Because every week, it's almost the same to them. And they feel, well, as long as I'm not getting killed, my children are getting killed, my family members are getting killed, as long as I'm not losing my house, my car, my job, I'm fine. But yeah, when Yah shakes up this world, he's going to shake everybody out of their timeline. He's going to shake everybody out of their narrative. He's going to shake everybody out of their comfort zone. Those times are coming. So you're really going to make a decision whether you can rely on your faith, religion, or you come into the fullness of the gospel and the truth. We are blessed as a called out assembly to already go through these type of troubles individually before they jump on the main stage. Some people are being saved just so they see the main act on the main stage. We have already seen it in our lives. So we don't need the show. We don't need the main stage. We already been through it. Yah has selected us for us to go through it early so we can understand who we are as a people, as a person, fix what we need to fix, start providing and covering. So when the big show happens, we'll laugh at it. Look at these people. I already been through here. I already been broke and had to scrounge around and rely on Yah. I already had without no resources, no lights, no none. I know how to act in this during this time. That's the whole point of him waking up people. And Saul and knew that Yahuwah was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. So it's got to be heart-wrenching for a man that you know is going to take your kingdom. A man that you know is going to take your kingdom. He also is taking your daughter that you wanted to give to him for a snare. And you know you can't do nothing to him because you know the Ruach that you have in you is not stronger than the Ruach Yahuwah. If I say this, you have to rewind it and hear it again because I don't remember how I said it. But it sounds so much exactly Yah's plan with his son. Satan gives you or tries to give you options. And when you turn the options into being sanctified through trials and tribulations, it pisses him off because what he sent to you was to destroy you, but it has built you. You have succeeded. You have overcome. Because what was in you was stronger than what is in him. Satan does not have the Ruach Yahuwah. Satan does not have the Ruach HaKodesh. He has experience and time. That's it. Satan has experience and time. If you had lived as long as Satan, you would be so smart on how to deal with humans and human behavior. If you were just around watching and observing, it wouldn't even take you that long to know what humans wanted and what they desired and what they would actually put up with and actually go through to get what they want. It's not that hard. It's not that easy. Look at yourself. Did it take much for you to walk into a strip club? It don't take much for you to look up porn. It didn't take much for you to fulfill your flesh. It don't take much to go into a bar and get drunk. It don't take much to sit on the couch, smoke weed all day. It don't take much. Satan knows the desires of man and how crooked they can be. You think that Satan don't understand what Yah did when he gave Saul that evil Ruach? And his people told him, when the Ruach comes upon you, I will find a man that's a cunning player to play music for you, and that'll alleviate your pain. You think Satan doesn't understand this and how powerful the music could be? A man after Yah's own heart. You think that sentence alone didn't make Satan perk his ears up to find out, all right, then what is this person supposed to be? This person supposed to be after Yah's own heart. He could play music really good. I sit here and watched him put an evil spirit on his first king to soothe him. He brought in his son, the one that is going to be the next king, and he's playing music. I wonder if that works in reverse. I wonder if, in order to lead the children after Yah's own heart astray, all I have to do is bring in somebody with my ruach, who's willing to do all that I asked, all of my statutes and ordinances, to try to disrupt losing my kingdom to them. He had to have been watching this or have knowledge of that. So also imagine on the other side. So we say that Satan was the, I don't know, the chief minister of music in heaven, they say. That he understood music well. So just imagine the reason why Yah said, I'm selecting a man, a lowly man after my own heart. And he comes in and plays music. If you Satan, wouldn't that not piss you off? Especially when your job in heaven was the music. And then you get kicked out. And then you have to say, or then you have to sit here and watch David, who was just a sons of many. When Satan was truly the firstborn or the first created, he was the highest cherubim up there. To sit here and give musical talents to a little shepherd boy who wasn't the highest among his brethren, but the lowest, and to give him such power, respect, and glory. This is what it's about when I say shaming the devil, shaming the enemy. This is what this whole war is about. We just had to see it through the physical form why David conquered Goliath, but he's showing us and telling us that this is the power you have over Satan. Satan don't have that much power, and yet he still has to do what I tell him to do because he has to fulfill my heart, my desires, my will, my words, my prophecy. People, oh, I'm so scared of Satan. I'm in the way that people worship him. Red, you know, a red character with a pitchfork and all that. The most unserious God they ever created, or the image of Satan, was some red man, half like Pan. Not Peter Pan, but the Pan with the, you know, half man, half goat. But it makes you so afraid. So, oh, you out there sacrificing. They're sacrificing these celebrities. Oh, you can't say nothing because you're attacking people. That's what people believe. Oh, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, they'll get you. Because they worship Satan. They worship Lucifer. Man, you're supposed to be going at them. You're supposed to be exposing them. You're supposed to shame the enemy and expose them, as Paul said. Why? Because the Most High wanted us to know that they are controlled. We have the free will to follow his commandments so he can use us to his purpose. So we do these ordinances and statutes so we can be used for his purpose. So the enemy can say, well, he's doing this, but he's also doing that too. Oh, I see your children doing the feast days, but here I know you, one of your sons over here is still getting drunk. I see him doing the new moons, but I see him over here typing in porn websites. So all of this is to do all these orders and statutes so the enemy cannot convict you of anything. That's why we strive. It says, yeah, we will fall short, but damn, we should be still trying. And Saul was yet more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was set by greatly. And you can only do this with the Ruach Yahuwah. Do not think you could do this by playing dumb. Do not think you can do this by playing around. And the other side of that, the other side of playing around, the other side of being arrogant, impatient, anxious, the things that what became a stumbling block and snare to Saul? Go to Micah chapter 7. Woe is me, for I as when, woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth. There is none upright among men. They all lie and wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks and the judge asks for reward. And the great man, he utters his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman and your visitation comes, now shall be the perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Guard the doors of your mouth from her that lies in your bosom. For the son dishonors the father rises up against the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. This was also said by Yahusha. Therefore, I will look unto Yahuwah. I will wait for the Elohim of my Yeshua. My Elohim will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, Yahuwah shall be a light unto me. What was Saul sitting in darkness? Unrepenting darkness. And what was David? The light. In order for the darkness to be comforted, it has to be light around it. Micah 7, 9 and 10. I will bear the indignation of Yahuwah because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light. And I should behold his righteousness. Bear the indignation of Yahuwah because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. The Most High is such a merciful Father that he will not be angry or wroth with us forever. He knows when we misstep. He knows the thorn that we have in our flesh. But he also knows he is not going to take it from us until we are ready to release it. When we are ready to release it, that is when we become more powerful than our enemies. Some of you are so worried that you don't have an assignment or worried you don't get a mission or reason why you don't get a mission or an assignment is because you have chinks in your armor that will get exposed if you start on this path to your assignment. This is the reason why you are in a place of being isolated. You are not in full strength to yet go out to conquer, to go out to pursue your enemy, to go out and face them. Because your enemy knows you better than you know yourself when you are a babe in this walk or young in this walk. And when the enemy attacks you from your past, because it's always your past, and if you are not fully healed from it, you will come out of character. You will come out of the Ruach. You either may say something cursing to somebody. You may be loud. You may fight. You may just say, you know what? I don't want to do this. And you may just get drunk. You may just get high. You may sit on your couch and smoke weed. This is the reason why he hasn't pushed you into an assignment or a mission yet. I only understand this from my perspective because that's what I went through. When I started, I was doing little posts here and there. But I knew I didn't know everything. But I was talking about what I knew. But the Most High tested me with enemies. He's like, all right, he's been so boastful about his sins and all this other stuff. I wonder what he's going to do. If I put him on a spotlight, will he run from it? Now that he wants to be righteous, I'm going to test him. I'm going to test him in his own industry. I want to see if he folds or not. But I'm going to be with him. And before I send him into this mission, I'm going to see if he knows how to discern visions and dreams. I'm going to prepare him spiritually before I let him go out there physically. And that's what I went through. And he knew that if I did not heal from my past, If I felt ashamed to speak out righteously against something, if he felt like I wasn't going to stand up 10 toes down, he would never push me out there. That's why he made me heal from my past situations or my past arrests. He made me put myself underneath the bus in front of everybody as much as he could so I could no longer be afraid of voicing and talking about my past. So now that I laugh more at my past than I am, oh, I don't want to talk about it because it's embarrassing. Nah. Because he knew that people were going to use my past against me anytime I try to take a step towards him. He had to make sure that I was fortified, that I wasn't going to sneak off and be like, oh, okay, they talking about my past. Let me go private. Let me lock up my social media accounts. Let me delete them. Let me go into hiding. No, it wasn't like that with me. Once he saw I was ready to conquer it, he gave me more enemies to go after. Then you start elevating in your enemy. First, it would be like, you know, I don't know, like online going against, you know, retired NFL players, retired basketball players. And then you get put on the main stage, like websites, blog, big time, like mainstream media websites talking about people's, like, for instance, Dwayne Wade's son was given over to the beast or worshiping Satan, that he's a Prince or Freemason. And they put that out there and then watch people try to eat you up and you don't fold. Then you go to the next thing. That's what it's about. Because I know it's not a shame to me because I'm being used to shame the enemy. The Most High is saying, like, you've seen this person right here. You've seen this. You've seen my son right here. Let me remind you what he used to do. So you know that what he's doing now, I'm showing you that this is all me. That he could not do what he's doing without me by his side. That is what convicts a lot of people around or to witness your testimony. That is how we become the called out assembly. By showing examples and different testimonies of different people who have been awakened, have went through and suffered through trials and tribulations to find y'all, we are all shaming the enemy. Mind you, the watchers are pissed off watching us find redemption and salvation multiple times. A gift they don't even get to have. They don't get to have this gift. Then she that is my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is Yahuwah Elohaka? My eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. The person that is my enemy shall see it, shall see my redemption, and shame shall cover her, shall cover my enemy, which said unto me, where is Yahuwah Elohaka? Where is your God? Which is funny, that's exactly what that transgender Robin Westman supposedly wrote on his gun, or wrote on the gun magazine, where is your God? And the funny thing about that, before I, you know, let me step away for a little bit to talk about that. The funny thing about that is, Audrey Hale, which was the other trans somewhat shooter that went into the Christian convent, or what coveted school, I think what it was. That happened March 27, 2023. They come back and do the same trip, except it's in a Catholic school. It's in a Catholic school, and it happened August 27th. The emphasis is on 27. What is 3 power? What is 27 when you write it under 3 power? It's 3 with that little 3 on top, right? There's your 33. There's your 33. So they wrote, where is your God? And it's so funny that Jacob Frey, a Jewish mayor, talking about all these kids were praying, they were doing this. Mind you, if they can fake an entire school or fake an entire classroom being killed, and I'm talking about Sandy Hook, it don't make a bit of difference to them if they can lie to you and say only 2 people got killed. How has somebody got all that gun power, only go in there and kill two people and injure 17 others? But you will never hear an eyewitness story from any of the people that were injured. You will see crisis actors, but you won't see and hear real injured people. That's what I said, that this life is, this system, this country, this world is a joke. Because they're doing all this just to get you to AI technology that was founded by Israel, and the guy that's pushing it called it Gideon. And he is an Israeli-Canadian actor and also an ex-Israeli military specialist. When they say you can't make this stuff up, yes, you can. And the more you see of this world, the more how corny it is and lame it is, yes, you can basically make up what they're going to do. To prevent future attacks, they are going to use AI to scrape the internet. And they can come to your house and lock you up and say you are getting ready to do something either against children, but the real programming that they want you to fall under is that you can't say anything anti-Semitic. This is what it's all about. They're slowly coming out of the shadows. They're really bringing it home to what these mass shootings were really all about. They want to get you so pissed off at school mass shootings that you allow them to come in with AI. And you need to come in AI at the ground level, which means at the level of a child. If you come in with the level of the child, you teach the child to be programmed in such a way that they will never dissent. You can't go from the top down, because if you show that there is resistance at the top or in the adult level, the kids below you won't pay attention. They will just follow the resentment. They will follow the rebellion. So if you get it, the AI, into schools at a ground level, and then, of course, a couple of more psyops and rituals saying that they stop these mass shootings based on this AI technology, then you conquer it and it goes upward. Now it goes from the classroom, the public school system, and it goes on to social media. And like I said before, they did all this just to categorize anti-Semitism as domestic terrorism. That's where they're going with it. That's where they're going with it. They know a time is coming. They know a time is coming where people are going to chew up Judaism, are not going to believe anything that comes out of mainstream media. They know, and they've seen already, this is why they have Kanye West being the puppet, being the control opposition for this. They know eventually we were going to find out who runs mainstream media. They knew we were going to find out who owns these politicians. They know they're going to find out who's actually behind Freemasonry and Black Greek organizations. Eventually, they know. They know the finger is going to go pointing to them. So they gave you Kanye West to hype you up and think that, oh, he's rebelling against them. Let's share memes. Let's share his song, that Heil Hitler song. Let's share that. And while they antagonize you with him, you believe that he's actually in power, that he's actually unstoppable, that he's not a puppet of them. So what do? Y'all start sharing that song. You share anti-Semitic to them, which is the truth. You start sharing anti-Semitic memes. They are tracking every single meme and every single usage of that Kanye Hitler song. They are tracking it. So when they set this AI in place, it's going to sweep across the entire internet, and they can come to your house, they can gang stalk you and say that you are a potential domestic terrorist. And you know where they got that notion from? They already predicted, programmed it in the movie Minority Report. The movie with Tom Cruise, where they use three psychics, they link them up, and they learn, they through visions and dreams and prophecy, I guess, premonitions, that they were able to stop crime before it happens. That's exactly what they want. They think they're going to stop anti-Semitic terrorism before it starts by sweeping the entire internet and knocking people off of it. They already did this with QAnon. Remember when QAnon came out and they started releasing Pizzagate and all that? They thought it was just going to stop. They thought by bringing this out, by bringing QAnon out, people were going to laugh at it after a while and see how incredibly crazy it sounded. But people were smarter than the PSYOP. So people kept digging. They didn't let it go. Even when people were making fun of QAnon, they thought that mocking QAnon was going to get everybody for it to disband. It didn't work. So what was the next thing they did? They started doing a mass deletion when they turned over ownership to before they turned ownership to Elon Musk, they started deleting QAnon accounts. They started deleting QAnon Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts and Facebook accounts. That's why I wouldn't even say nothing about QAnon. When people talk, you know, was hashtagging when we go one, we go all. When people kept hashtagging that, they followed that hashtag to every single account that kept using it. And all of their accounts were wiped out. So you think they're not tracking the data, that's what they're tracking. Exactly what they're tracking. They even try to throw War of the Worlds, the remake of War of the Worlds with Ice Cube. As funny and simple-minded it was and funny that it was to look at and comedic and poorly done, the whole thing they wanted to hide behind that is the fact that data was more important than your blood. That is more important to them. Because if you have your data, they can predict what you're going to do, what you're going to say, and how you move. Why do you think these phones, when you speak into them, it pops up with an ad that they think you want? Why do you think you feel like your phones are listening to you? It's a mic on it that never turns off. I guarantee you it's like that when you put shuffle on either you have Apple iTunes. I guarantee you I'm thinking that when you talk and when you text, they know what shuffle order to put on your phone based on your moods from what they believe, either you arguing or you in love or you fighting. I feel like they do that already. I feel like they already have the technology to play to your moods. If they can play to the advertisement of the things or the products you want online, I guarantee you they can play through your moods through shuffling of music. So if they're already doing this, I guarantee you they have technology getting ready to be in place, like I said, through Gideon, through Israel, to sweep the internet for any anti-Semitic truths. That's it. And once they find it, you don't know what's going to happen. That's why in a prophecy, I want to say in Baruch or Ezra, it says the wise would be few, and those who do know will remain quiet. That verse stuck out to me. The wise will be but a few. The wise. How will they be wise? Because we would have the Ruach Yahuwah. The wise will be few. And those who know will most of all be quiet. So we would know what's going on. But it's going to come a time where we won't be able to share what we share. We won't be able to talk about what we talk about. That time is coming, and you see it. Remember Demolition Man? It wasn't like they couldn't kill Edgar Friendly, but they buried everybody who did not want to live according to the Kato plan. They pushed them underneath the city. It's almost like shadow banning. They can't outright kill them because they don't have that power. Like I said, they're not in charge. They're not the boss. Jah's the boss. But it's their systems, it's their platforms, it's their social media apps. It's their internet. The prince and power of the air, you might as well say the prince and power of the Wi-Fi. It's his. So he can't, you know, completely destroy us, but he can push us under the city. He can push us under the system. We can't be out in Front Street being disobedient to his system and to the end times. When it says, like, he will be wroth with the remnant and those who guard and keep the commandments, he's saving us for last. Yah is saving us for last. For some of us to be thrown in jail, beheaded. But it's already mentioned that those who would lose their life being slain from the being in the blood of the Lamb, washing our robes would be white in white raiment, that our us overcoming the world, we would be having immense glory from it. This is why Yah corrects us. Micah 7:14, I'm going to get off here soon. Feed your people with your rod, the flock of your heritage, which dwells solitarily in the wood and in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. Feed your people with your rod, the flock of your heritage. Feed us with obedience. Feed us with correction. Please, make us separate from everybody else. According to the days of your coming out of the land of Mitzrayim, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of El Yahu Elahanu and shall fear because of you. Not because of Christians, not because of Jews, not because of Islam, not because of Buddhism or New Age spirituality or even Kemet. Shall fear because of you. You shine through the glory of Yahu Elahaka. You will be making them fear just as Saul was in fear of David. This is why the Most High put this story in our midst, in our eyesight, in our hearts. If you only just read the scriptures for yourself, you would find out this information as I have found that out. Being wise and having wisdom comes from Yahuwah and him alone. That you get by doing everything he has told you to do for him. That same fear that Saul had towards David and couldn't do nothing to him, even when he tried to throw stumbling blocks and snares at him and missions that he should have died in, David conquered them because of his wisdom and because his obedience and being chosen and called by Yah. When you read Revelation, it talks about from the foundations of the world, these certain people are already set up before they came into this world to be destroyed. You could be the called out assembly from before the foundation of the world have been called to be in a time such as this to show forth his glory. You cannot be timid in doing anything that the Most High has told you to do for him. Who is an El like unto you that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will perform the truth of Yaakov. You will perform the truth to Yaakov and the mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn 7 oaths unto our fathers from the days of old. It's already said and done. Walk confidently. Do his statutes righteously. Find that joy. That will save you. Being obedient will save you from a lot of foolishness. Oh, I can't go to the club tomorrow. It's new moon. I got to get ready to prepare. I got to go buy wood. I got to go do this. Yah is not going to accept my offering if I go out and get pissy drunk tonight. Nah, I don't know if I could do the sneaky link. I don't know if I could do the sneaky link. It's a Shabbat coming up. I want to make sure I'm pure, I'm holy. I can't really be fornicating and think he's going to accept my offering. I would just be wasting my own money, wasting my own time. I hope this episode edifies you and also places the Ruach Yahuwah on your souls to do and search out the ordinances and statutes that I brought to you. Because now that we have the understanding that our forefathers forgot about, there is no excuse because we're not going through captivity. None of us has had gone through chattel slavery or have yokes of iron around our neck and feet. None of us have. We were saved from that so we could show forth his praise and worship to show that our ancestors didn't get slain, hung on trees, burnt in fire, thrown in the woods, thrown in rivers, thrown to alligators in vain. And for you called out assembly Gentiles, the same goes for you. One manner of Torah for all, and for all who sojourns with Yasharel. You get to be the redemptive seed in your bloodline. Some of you don't even know you come from murderers, rapists, extortioners, liars, thieves, mass murderers. You don't know where you come from. You have the redemptive power to sanctify your entire bloodline because you were chosen before you even came into this world. You didn't get to go through chattel slavery either. That is a blessing for you. You didn't have to go through curses. So really, you should go hard, twice as harder than us, because you didn't have to go through it. I see y'all next time.